Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I want to talk about no greater love for just a few minutes today. Lord, help us today. I thank you for what you've done, Lord, for the freedom and liberty that I feel in this house. Lord, I believe people came for prayer today and they were healed and situations changed. And Lord, I believe you've moved all through this congregation and, Lord, just helped us and encouraged us. And I pray that, Lord, we would just be energized a little while longer, Lord, to be changed by your word today. God, let the seed, Lord, of your word find good ground in our hearts and in our spirits, and let it grow and flourish, Lord, in our lives. Let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our lives. In Jesus' name, help us today. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time as you're seated. Can't give him enough praise. Can't give him enough praise. So here, again, we have Paul. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And he starts off this chapter 2. Really, he wouldn't have been numbering it as chapters. But this passage that we begin at, it starts in... Though he refers to himself in one place in the scripture as he feels like the least, most, if not all of us, would consider him the greatest apostle in history. And yet, here he is writing that he did not come to the people of Corinth with excellency of speech or of great wisdom. He didn't come with a wow factor. He didn't come, with this crazy awesome oration of a speech to give to them. He didn't come with all these crazy mysteries and deep things that no one understood. He said, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of great wisdom. He says, but I came and I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, many people, they misunderstand and some misinterpret that scripture, and they say that, well, that shows you that nothing else at all matters in our walk with God as long as we believe in what Jesus did at the cross. And that's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying nothing else in our walk with God matters. He's not saying don't pay attention to anything else. Just believe in the cross and you're saved and you're good to go. That's not what Paul is saying. It's important to look at the context that he's writing in. He says, he didn't say, I am determined to know nothing among you. He said, I did determine to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the distinction there is that he's saying, when I first came to you, when I first showed up in the mission field in Corinth, when I came to establish a church in Corinth, it was my mission first and foremost for you to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I didn't come with all this big, excellent, crazy stuff to tell you. I came and my first mission was to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. when I came to you, I brought you Jesus, and I talked about the love of the cross. That's what I brought you first and foremost. In other words, his priority mission, when he first met these people, when he was reaching for the people in Corinth, his first mission was to show them the love of Jesus. That was the first thing. Because when he says Jesus Christ and him crucified, that greater love hath no man than this. And Jesus laid down his life for the people of Corinth, just like he did for the ones in Jerusalem and Judea and all those areas. Paul is on a mission trip to Corinth and goes to tell them first thing, Jesus died for you. And he rose again from the grave, and now he's seated at the right hand of God, and all power and authority belongs to him, and he can save you, and he's the only true God. But the first thing was, he died for you because he loves you. He rose again to give you power, to bring you salvation. I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now many people, they make it their mission to fill seats and meet a baptism quota. And don't get me wrong. I want to see people baptized in the name of Jesus. Ye must be born again. You must be born again, Jesus said. I want to see people baptized in the name of Jesus every service. Not just every Sunday, every service. And on our off days too. I want to see the baptistry full. I want that baptistry to be a revolving door, just people going in and coming out new creatures. I want to see people getting their sins washed away in baptism. And everyone needs to be born again. But what I'm talking about is people seeing a number and not a soul. People seeing something that this will look good, and this is not a slam to our media team at all, but people look at souls or people sometimes and think that'll be a good shot for our social media, that'll be a good shot for the website, that'll be good to be able to tell my friends at another church, oh, we had some visitors today, and they see a number. They don't see a soul. And that's not what we're about. We're not just trying to grow numbers, but I want to see souls. People have souls that need saving. People have lives that need to be changed. People are broken and need the love of God. And they come from broken homes and terrible situations. And they're coming from addiction. And they're coming from all kinds of different backgrounds and situations. And they need Jesus. They're not just a number. And before people see anything else, they ought, like Paul said, to see the sacrificial love of Jesus. Before they know anything else about us or see anything, they ought to see the love of Jesus. I'm so thankful for all the times that a visitor has come in and said, you know, from the time I walked through those double doors back there, I felt nothing but love. People were loving me. I'm so thankful to be in a church like that. But we've got to do it more than ever before. Show the love of God to people. They should see Jesus Christ and him crucified. We don't have access to anything. None of it means anything without his love and without his sacrifice. Even the plan of salvation is modeled after the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because I repent of my sins. That's the old man dying. And then the scripture says we are buried with him in baptism. That's baptism. I'm burying the old man. That's death and burial. And then it says, and then we are raised again into new life. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's resurrection. Even the plan of salvation that we find in the scripture is modeled after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You can't get away from the gospel. If we're preaching a plan of salvation like we're just trying to just tick off the check marks, and we don't understand that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, it does no good. And we have that because he loved us enough to die and be buried and to raise again and give us new life. This is why Paul wrote to the Corinthians, letting them know, the first thing I want you to understand is the sacrificial love of Jesus. And we treat the cross too many times just like an Easter Sunday message. We treat the cross just like it's, well, that's elementary. Everybody knows if Jesus died for us, Jesus died for our sins. That's, we don't spend a lot of time on that, but we can't stop preaching the cross. We can't just be seen as people that are trying to get people to do something, to follow some steps, but they don't understand that we have access to all of this, to new life and to salvation, because Jesus died for my sins, and he was put in that grave for 3 days, but he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. You've got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can't forget about the cross, because that is his love. And you hear people say it wasn't nails that held him to the cross, it was love. Because he could have. He could have called legions of angels down. He could have done anything he wanted to, but he stayed. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know what that joy was? I'm going to save my people from their sins. My name is Jesus, for I will save my people from their sins. Hallelujah. When we have a sacrificial love for people, when we have a love for souls that doesn't mind being inconvenienced, that doesn't mind, well, I have to give a little extra time, or I have to go out of my way. When we have that kind of sacrificial love for souls, it will lead them to the cross. It will lead them to the cross. It will lead them to Jesus. If we treat people, and maybe, I can't tell if I'm doing more teaching or preaching today, but this is just where the Lord is leading us today. It's about people. It's about souls. And when we treat people like we're just trying to put them through an apostolic machine and get them to come out like a cookie cutter mold of everybody else, that's not the will of God. We have to be like Jesus and go out of our way for people and spend some time loving people. And you see in the ministry of Jesus, everywhere he was going and what he was doing, we see his great love and compassion and connection with people who were in need, who were sick, who were broken, who were in sin, that everybody else had cast out. He was going to lepers and touching lepers that were unclean and they were outcast. And he was the woman with the issue of blood, he was already on his way to raise up a dead girl. And the woman with the issue of blood stops him in the middle of hundreds of people in the crowd. And he stops for her, and he stopped for the blind man that cried out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He got a hold of Zacchaeus that nobody liked and was looked at in a negative light. And the woman that was caught in adultery, he went out of his way to say, hey, where are your accusers? Everybody's dropped their stones, and neither do I condemn thee. And go thy way and sin no more. He was going to people that were broken and sick and in need, people that had no other way and no other hope unless he came to them. That's who Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. The world is not untouchable to us. We should be going out and showing the love of God to people, because I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, and I need his love and you need his love, but they need his love. People are not projects. People are not projects, but people do need compassion. And they need connection. And they need the love of God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Maybe we're not running the aisles, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this room today. God was moving in this same vein on Tuesday night in prayer. Anybody that was here can tell you God was speaking things like this to us. And he's trying to help us understand that it's about people. You shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to do what, Jesus? And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Power to be witnesses. Power to preach the gospel. Power to reach those that before were unreachable. In Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 36. Some of the Sadducees were the Pharisees and Sadducees. They're there. They're listening to what Jesus is saying. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" They're always trying to trip Jesus up. Always trying to find fault in him. He said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And I spoke a little bit about this on Tuesday night, but we see that first and great commandment, that covers me and God. I'm going to love him with everything I have. He loved me first, so I love him. It's mine and his relationship. I'm giving it everything I have, heart, soul, mind, everything. Me and God. But then the second commandment is like unto it, me and people. I do have to, first and foremost, I can't be trying to reach people and help people if I don't even have a connection with him. I've got to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, like the Bible says. I've got to make sure I'm right with God. But after that, the second commandment is like unto it, me and people. Me and my neighbor. Me and my neighbor. Hello, neighbor. We've got to understand that's the order of this, is that when I have that relationship with him, and when I have that connection with him, and I have a walk with God, I can't keep it to myself. It's me and God, and then me and people. Love your neighbor as yourself. If I want to have a walk with God, I should want others to have a walk with God. If I want to be pulled out of my mess and out of my sin, and God changed my life, I should want that for others. I should remember where I was and what God brought me out of, and understand that there are people that are going through the same thing that I've gone through and that I came up in, and that God delivered me from. I should want it for other people. Not because I want people to be a cookie cutter mold of me. I want them to be like him. I want people to experience the love of God. I'm not trying to get people to join a club. I'm not trying to get people to join a cult. I'm trying to get people to see that you can have a better life, and you can be delivered from addiction, and God can heal your broken home and your broken family, and God can deliver you from chains of addiction and sin. You can have more. He said, "I came to give you life, and life more abundantly." Sacrificial love. Again, in Matthew 25, we go from this, and then we see, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. John 13 is what I meant to say. John 13, we go from this to this here. It's at the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking to them, and he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." We say, well, he already told us to do that. That's not the new part. That's not the new part. This is the new part. "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." He didn't just say love them because I love you. He said love them as I love you. That means love them unconditionally. That means reach for them. That means sacrifice for them. That means go out of your way for them, because that is how I love you. You should love one another. That's the new part. As I have loved you, love one another. I'm trying to help us today that there's no greater love than that sacrificial love that Jesus showed us first, and now we are to show one another. It's sacrificial love. And this is where we're going right here in Matthew 25:31. He's talking about the last judgment. It says I'll just jump right down. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? When we saw thee a stranger, we took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or sick and came to thee, or in prison and visited you. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And this is what will sober us. Then shall he also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. It was never prepared for you, but prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. And then they'll ask him, say, Lord, when did we not do those things for you? And in verse 45, he says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of these, ye did it not unto me. In verse 46, I didn't even list, but it says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And that's sobering scripture, because it'll make us understand and realize that while I love to jump and shout and praise and go to church and do all the church stuff. I love my church family, love my church friends. I love all that we do. I love everything that's a part of church. I like to lift my voice and jump and praise. And I love listening to the worship music. And I love my youth group. And I love my friends and all this stuff. But I can have all of that and still find myself stand before the Lord one day and him say, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was sick, I was in prison, you didn't visit me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. You stayed inside the walls of that church and you had a club. And you had a gathering every Sunday, but no one knew you were there. And no one knew what I could do. And you worked with people every day and knew their problems and knew their needs. And you didn't invite them. And you didn't pray for them. And you didn't reach out to them. You had family you sat with in your home. And you let them slip through. And you didn't tell them. You had classmates that you were with every single day. You didn't invite them. You didn't reach out to them. You didn't pray for them. And now they're standing on the wrong side. And I know it feels like I just threw a wet blanket on this service. But God is trying to get a hold of our hearts today. Because there's, and I'm getting ready to close, but there's two groups of people I want to address today. I want to address this church, the members of this church. I want to address people that are excited and pumped up about outreach and winning souls and bringing people to church. You've got to understand that there is no greater calling than to reach souls. And that is what we have been empowered to do. And this is the thing. You can do it. Some people are going to reject you. Some people are going to tell you no. Some people are going to tell you you're wrong. Some people are going to argue with you. Some people are going to hurt your feelings. But he said, don't fret when they do that because they rejected me first. They spat in my face first. They turned away from me first. So you're in good company. He said, blessed are ye. When men shall revile you, when they exclude you from their company, for my sake. We understand in the parable of the sower that he's just sowing seeds. And he says some of it lands on good ground, takes root and it grows. And it can be a harvest. Some of it finds hard ground, stony ground, thorny ground. Doesn't grow. But what's the sower's job in all that? Sow seed. I'm reaching for anybody and everybody. There's nobody that Jesus can't reach. There's not a drug addict that Jesus can't turn their life around. Your home is not so broken that Jesus cannot put it back together. Your situation is not so bad that Jesus cannot turn your life around. You are not so low and sunk down into the depths of depression that he cannot give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're not so sick, your diagnosis is not so bad that Jesus can't heal you, make you new, make you whole. I'm just sowing seed for everybody. I can't be held up by people that want to reject it, and I pray for them, and I'll keep reaching, but it's not going to stop me from reaching. That's our mission, church. I want to see people come. I want to see them jump and dance and clap and come to game nights and come to family night and do all the stuff that we do. I want to see them here doing that. But before I see any of that, I want to see them in this altar. Because that's where they can say, Lord, I'm laying it all down. I'm turning from this old life. I believe that you can make me new. I believe you can change my heart. I believe you can change my life. That's our mission, church, is to reach for people. And I want to tell you, and you can stand with me, I want to tell anybody that's here today and you need God. If you are here today and you know I need God in my life, I don't even know within myself, I think, what that means to me. I know I need something. Something's got to change. If you're here today and you need God, if you are broken, if you've been wearing a mask that looks good, but that mask is starting to crack and to break, and you're barely holding on, if you're battling addiction, secret sin, if you feel like your home, your marriage, your family is hanging on by a thread, if you're battling in the depths, in the valley of depression. And you just feel like I'm sinking. And nobody knows it. If you feel tired and weary, Jesus said, come to me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden. Cast your care upon me. Cast your burden on me. I want to let you know that there's a church and a people here that will love you and fight for you, that will lift you up, hold your hands up in the battle. But more than that, there's a God here that loves you. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And you are not too far gone for Jesus to get a hold of you today and change your life. He will pour out His love on you. He will bring you out of the valley. He can break chains of addiction and sin. He can heal your home. He can heal your marriage. He can heal your family. He can heal your body. He can heal your mind and your emotions. So maybe this all sounds a little old-fashioned, but it's still the gospel. That you can die to that old life. And I can't go and let this service go without telling you. There was a day that Peter was talking about that sacrifice. And he said, this Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. They did crucify Him, but they didn't even understand what they were doing. There's another place where they are crying out for Barabbas to be loosed, and Pilate's saying, I think Jesus is innocent. But they're crying out and saying, let His blood be on us and on our children. Forget you, Pilate. Let His blood be on us. Let it be on our children. And they didn't even realize what they were saying, because His blood would be on them and their children. And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And when they were pricked in their hearts on the day of Pentecost, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent. Die to your old ways. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Buried. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, raised into new life. I don't know what you need today, but I know that the Lord has got it for you. And if you just need the Lord to work on your heart and refocus and get your heart in the right place about the mission that we're on, then let Him do that today. But if you're somebody in here that needs God, I would urge you to find a place to kneel and to pray. Find a place in this altar and let God change your life, because He can do it. He can do it. He can do it.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.